Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
And now for something completely different.
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's the Patty Vasquez Show.
Oh, my God.
Swing.
The Patty Vasquez Show.
Dad, she's like a cat.
Mom is sitting right there.
Are you ready for this?
Seriously, is it going to be hot or cold tomorrow? Because I need to know how high I have to shake. Let's go.
Chicago's own Patty Vasquez, everybody.
WGN.
Thank you so much for finding us pretty late. I am your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and it is December 7th, 2014. And when I was getting ready to come down here, you know, I grew up in a household where Pearl Harbor was something we talked about a lot because my father was born in 1933. So in 1941, he was 8 years old. And as a young child, actually started to help support his family. Even during the Great Depression, he sold newspapers when he was 6, 7 years old. And his mother was a gambler, an alcoholic, so he struggled a lot during the Depression trying to help make sure that he was cared for and his mother was cared for. Even taking on the responsibility at such a young age must have been such a burden for him, and I think that affected him for the rest of his life. And he always talked about what it was like growing up during World War II, what the impact was for him, how important it was to support our military, how important it was that we survived those both the Depression and World War, and how we came out of it. And I was walking on Michigan Avenue tonight just thinking about it because I don't know how to talk about this. I studied history. We talked a lot in my classes at the University of Illinois about why America did not succumb to extremism in the same way that Germany did and Japan and Russia, why we did not falter when it came to despots or extreme thoughts. There was a vulnerability there because there was a worldwide economic depression. And it is important to remember this. I was asking Caitlin before the show if she thought about it, if she heard much about it today, and we both think that maybe we don't talk about it as much as we did before 9/11. I don't even know that we did before then as much as we should, how much we should address and respect what this country went through and why, what dragged us into it. And, you know, here's from Eyewitness to History. If you go, there's a lot of places you can go to look. If you maybe, in the corners of your mind, kind of remember what it was about, why we were attacked on that day on December 7th, 1941. But here's a part of the things you can find online. It's very easy to learn anything. There's no reason not to know anything anymore. December 7th, 1941, the surprise was complete. The attacking planes came in two waves. The first hit its target at 7:53 a.m., the second at 8:55. By 9:55, it was all over. By 1 p.m., the carriers that launched the planes from 274 miles off the coast of Oahu were heading back to Japan. Behind them, they left chaos, 2,403 dead, 188 destroyed planes, and a crippled Pacific fleet that included 8 damaged or destroyed battleships. In one stroke, the Japanese action silenced the debate that had divided Americans ever since the German defeat of France left England alone in the fight against the Nazi terror. And there are a lot of accounts that you can find, and I know that there was a ceremony today at the at Pearl Harbor for the USS just off the coast, and the USS Arizona, which is at the bottom of the ocean. There are men that are still alive. They're all 91, 90, they're in their early 90s. But these were young men who were serving in the Navy, serving in our military. And here's the account of one young man. At approximately 8 o'clock in the morning of December 7th, 1941, I was leaving the breakfast table when the ship's siren for air defense sounded. Having no anti-aircraft battle station, I paid little attention to it. Suddenly, I heard an explosion. I ran to the port door leading to the quarter deck and saw a bomb strike a barge of some sort alongside the Nevada or in that vicinity. The Marine Color Guard came in at this point saying we were being attacked. I could distinctly hear machine gun fire. I believe at this point our anti-aircraft battery opened up. We stood around waiting for orders of some kind. General quarters sounded and I started from my battle station in the secondary aft. As I passed through casemate 9, I noted the gun was manned and being trained out. The men seemed extremely calm and collected. I reached the boat deck and our anti-aircraft guns were in full action, firing rapidly. I was about 3/4 of the way to the first platform on the mast when it seemed as though a bomb struck our quarter deck. I could hear shrapnel or fragments whistling past me. As soon as I reached the first platform, I saw Second Lieutenant Simonson lying on his back with blood on his shirt front. I bent over him and, taking him by the shoulders, asked if there was anything I could do. He was dead. Seeing there was nothing I could do for the lieutenant, I continued to my battle station. And that's just from a young man who was 17 years old, who was stationed in Pearl Harbor. And we don't talk about it anymore, and I don't know why it doesn't seem, you know, we have Memorial Day, and I guess we kind of lump it all in there. We have Veterans Day, and we kind of all just put it there. But this is an important day in our history, just as important as the 4th of July, and I don't know how you have reflected on that today. If you go online, there were a couple of posts. I didn't even really post about it. It just seems so trite to just go, don't forget Pearl Harbor Day. But I want to take a moment to talk about that. 312-981-7200 if you have any thoughts on why we don't really pay respect to this day in history the way I believe that we should. I'm sure that many of you agree. 312-981-7200. More when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
And representatives, I have the distinguished honor of presenting the President of the United States.
Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate and of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense, but always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. I believe that I interpret the will of the Congress and of the people when I assert that we will not only defend ourselves to the uttermost, but will make it very certain that this form of treachery shall never again endanger us. Hostilities exist. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God. I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
Always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us, and always should we remember the sacrifices that so many men and women made during World War II, both in the military, here at home. There's so much that we owe to this generation. I know that we call it the greatest generation, and we have to remember, and I ask you to take reflection on what this day means to us, to the world, and you know, we have people on the line, and I want to read some of the texts that we had. Bud called in to say, God bless you for remembering us and Pearl Harbor, as we all should. Annie says that Anne says that she thinks Pearl Harbor is lost in memory because the vets don't talk about it. And that's true. And many of them are, we're losing them every day. I think many of us know somebody who served in World War II and they don't talk about it. They don't see themselves as heroes. So many of them don't want to be called heroes because they felt that it was their duty to fight for this country. And they have stories of horror that they never want to revisit. I know that my neighbor's father served in World War II, and it wasn't until he passed away that she realized the contributions, the sacrifices that he made during World War II. And it was really staggering to hear some of the stories shared at his funeral and the color guard that presented he was a hero of World War II. And we have Vic on the line. Hey, Vic, how are you doing?
How you doing, Vic the Historian?
Hey, Vic the Historian. How are you doing? I want to introduce you to in the studio. We have James Vickery. I don't want to ignore my guests in the studio. Hello. So, Vic, what's going on?
Well, tell you the truth, I'm very big on history and World War II, and I'm very surprised didn't get much, you know, more play all over the place. I think it's a disgrace.
It really is.
And I myself put out, I do signs, and I had my sign for Pearl Harbor today and signs of all the different vets things, some of the wars and everything, and I talked about it to a few kids. I don't think a lot of it's being taught in the schools anymore.
No.
It's not fashionable. We're the new bad guys. Now, if you just want to take in Chicago a little bit, I remember President Bush Sr., 25 years ago, I met him, and I said, you got your wings off Navy Pier. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He was 19 years old, and famous lady of World War II, your Tokyo Rose, had a gift shot on Belmont and Clark.
That's right. And
she died in her 90s, and people don't realize how close the enemy was.
Yeah.
They caught four German saboteurs on Webster and Sheffield in May of 1942 that came here in a German submarine.
I did not know that.
Well, yes, people even discard. I didn't believe it the first time, and then I finally got the newspaper headline. It's called they came here to blow up different munitions. They got caught within a month. The ones in New Jersey, another crew, they got caught in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very close. And you could. I try to look for some of these old World War II plaques because you go back to World War II, every corner had a little V for victory all over the place and everything. There's still one building in Lakeview that's got the name of the fellas serving in World War II on the building. The plaque is still in perfect condition.
I'm going to start. You know, and I think, you know, when I thought about this today, and I have the distinct pleasure of having this show on WGN and being able to open this up for discussion, I do think, I mean, maybe between now and then, we're 2 years short, I believe, of the 75th day of recognition of World War II, of Pearl Harbor. So maybe we figure out a way to bring this back to people's attention, don't you think, Vic?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I think it's very important, and I'm in total agreement that was the greatest generation. They went through the Depression, and then they're in World War II. Did you ever hear the story about Mats Tinelli?
Who's Mats Tinelli?
Mats Tinelli ended up as a county commissioner at Cook County, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was...
I'm taking notes, just so you know, Vic.
He really is.
James can account to that. Go ahead.
Okay, so Mats Tinelli was a kid from Roseland. He got a scholarship to Notre Dame football, and he played a year or two football. He ended up being in service in the Philippines, and was in real good shape and everything. He had his little football ring and everything. As you know, after Pearl Harbor, a couple months, not even that, the Philippines went down. Yep. They surrendered. And the Bataan Death March, he was in the Bataan Death March. And interesting story, he had his ring on, and one of the guards said, "Give me the ring and Jap, cut your hand off." And he gave up the ring, and 3 days later, he sees the guard with an officer, and the officer comes back to him, the Japanese officer, and says, "Mazzanelli, Notre Dame, here's your ring back."
What?
Now, this is written up. It's been written up. The ring is at the Italian Sports Hall of Fame. Here's your ring back.
Whoa.
Now, here's the rest of the story.
Oh, we got Paul Harvey on the line.
Okay. Evidently, if you know, if you figure everything else, the Japanese had sent a lot of their educators to universities to learn the American language, customs, and culture. So he was at Berkeley, and he saw Mazzanelli play.
Wow, that's an amazing story, Vic.
Now, Mats went ended up as a prisoner of war, and that's 30 months in a Japanese prison, came out weighing 68 pounds.
Ugh.
And a year and a half later, rebuilt himself and everything else, and played for the Chicago Cardinals.
I'm gonna do more research on this. All these things that you've shared with me, I want to know more about the saboteurs from Germany here.
Oh yeah, that's it. There's a book done later on. The Eighth came back, and the one young boy, the German boy, the crop boy, he had been in Germany and lived in the neighborhood by Webster when a lot of Germans were there. He went back to Germany, spoke English. They were going to blow up defense plants, bomb sites, and things, you know, like that. And it just, we put together a lot of things for the Italian Veterans Museum 10 years ago, and we interviewed a lot of the World War II guys. The stories they would tell you were amazing.
Vic, thank you so much for telling us those stories, and I always love hearing from you. Thank you so much.
By the way, I got to tell you one thing. Next time you're at the restaurant on Fullerton Avenue.
Yes, the Knife and Tine.
Yeah, tell your mama, because she worked for the railroad retirement,
Yes, she did. But you take notes too, Vic, don't you?
No, well, the big building on Fullerton and Southport, that's the old Milwaukee Road office building.
Oh, that's good to know. Old Milwaukee.
Mama would love that. And a couple doors away from where the restaurant you go to, there used to be a pool hall called St. Paul Billiards for Milwaukee Road St. Paul thing, and Paul Newman did some shots for the movie Color Money there.
That's fantastic. Vic, you're always a source of information, and we love hearing from you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Don't let it go too long before we hear from you again, Vic. Have a great night. Thanks. We're going to catch up with some more of our calls. I want to ask if Rich, Doug, and Tony can hang on, because I've got to take care of some business right here. Are we going right to the news, or are we doing a little break here? A little break. Thank you for listening pretty late. I'm Patty Vasquez. I'm your host in the Allstate Showcase studio. I am joined by James Vickery, and we're talking about remembering Pearl Harbor at 7:53 a.m. on Sunday, December 7th, 1941. The first assault wave of Japanese fighter planes attacked the U.S. Naval base at Pearl Harbor, taking Americans completely by surprise. Over 2,000 lives were lost. 68 civilians killed and 1,178 wounded. Over 1,000 crewmen aboard the USS Arizona battleship were killed after a 1,760-pound aerial bomb penetrated the forward magazine, causing catastrophic explosions. And when I was getting ready for the show tonight, I just was thinking, you know, that we don't talk about Pearl Harbor anymore. And Caitlin was saying that it's because 9/11, and even on 9/11, everyone said this is our Pearl Harbor. Well, Pearl Harbor, even that day, I was thinking, well, Pearl Harbor is that. This is this. These are important moments in our history. These are world-changing events. This is what, you know, just less a day later, President Roosevelt appeared before Congress and made a speech asking for a declaration of war against Japan. And by December 11th, the other countries, Japan's allies, Germany and Italy, both declared war on the United States. And the U.S. Congress responded immediately by declaring war on them. In which case the European and Southeast Asian wars had become a global conflict with the Axis powers, Japan, Germany, Italy, and others aligned against the Allied powers, America, Britain, Soviet Russia, and others. So we're talking about this, and we want to hear your thoughts. 312-981-7200. Doug wanted to join the conversation. Hi, Doug. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I think that's really neat what your father taught you, and he obviously taught you some neat things, and it's carried on, and I appreciate you talking about this. My grandparents really didn't teach me any stuff like that, but I feel really blessed in my job. I get to live where I work, mm-hmm. and our superiors always send emails telling us when to lower the flags to half staff.
Really? That's interesting.
And
they give a kind of a note with that?
Yeah, it's just a quick email, and there's mm-hmm. so many of them, different things that you have to lower them for. But I don't know, Patty. It's like I personally love going out and doing that. Instead of having one of my employees do it, I just do it myself.
Sure.
And it kind of feels like being in a cemetery or being in a sanctuary when it's quiet all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like it's neat that you're bringing the flags down and thinking about that particular event.
Right.
And then thinking all over the country, people are doing the same thing. So that's just kind of how I remember that event, and I think it's a neat thing.
I agree.
One of my employees, he had a person that lived in his neighborhood that was a photographer for the Navy, and he was on the deck when they did the surrender signing papers.
Oh, really? Wow.
And one day he brought in pictures that this person, this photographer had given him, and it's just amazing. You can see where he's written in pencil on the back and where they've been removed from the photo album. They're really old pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's neat too.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of things that we need to keep talking about and remembering, and I want to thank you so much for lowering your flag, Doug. And it's little things like that that keeps things moving forward, and we have to look behind. We don't learn anything. I think that we have to put the perspective of history into play in order to learn. There are mistakes that are made, there are gains that are made, and if we continue to ignore what's happened before, we'll continue to make, you know, I think really dramatic, to ignore what's going on in the rest of the world, to think, well, that's what's going on there, or that's how they behave, and we don't understand it. There's so much more we can do these days, whether it's because it is a global, you know, we're all connected. It's just so much more with the internet, with, even with trade. Yes, James?
And, well, just the way he explained it, I thought was really nice about taking this moment to lower the flag just as a way of, it's such a direct connection to history.
Right.
The people who came before you.
And that's what it is, a direct connection to history. Thank you so much, Doug. Have a great night.
Take care.
Thank you, too. We have Rich on the line who wanted to, I didn't hang up on anybody, right? Okay, good. I get so nervous when I hang up on people. Hey, Rich, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing tonight, Patty?
I'm good, thank you.
Just thanks for reminding people about this. My thoughts are is I'm 58, and, the younger generation's got 9/11, and I think that's what's being pushed more in schools
mm-hmm.
than what we had, because we had Pearl Harbor, you know, because that was, 20 years after, you know, I started school, or 20 years prior to me, you know, starting school, where that was brought up in history. But I've seen a thing on TV today about Pearl Harbor, and they were saying at the start of Pearl Harbor, we were like the third or fourth military power in the world,
mm-hmm.
and how this brought the whole country together to become what is now a superpower, you know, mm-hmm. and that took the whole country. That took, you know, people in the factories and
right.
like auto manufacturers stopping cars and going to war production and stuff, you know, so yeah, that made them the greatest generation. But at the same time, every I don't know how I say it. Every generation's got their own special people. I mean, like
sure.
the kids nowadays
yeah.
are joining the Army that aren't forced to go in the Army. You know, that's the greatest of the younger generation. And
Right. The way I always think of it is the young men and women who volunteer to do a job that most of us won't or can't do. You know, we don't have a draft, so they're answering that call on their own.
Right. I mean, like I did, I retired after 25 years in the military, and, you know, if people that are in the military remember it more than quote, civilians. But one thing I think that has changed is, you know, we're losing so many World War II veterans a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, that the younger people aren't sitting down and talking to their grandparents and learning their stories, you know, to carry on the memories and, you know, stuff like that. I was pretty fortunate. I mean, my grandmother passed away when she was 100 back in 76, and I remember as a kid talking to her how, you know, it went from going to horse and buggies to getting groceries to her seeing a man on the moon. You know, and if kids would sit down today and talk to their older, you know, their older relatives and stuff and learn their stories, I think this stuff would be passed on farther and farther, you know, and it wouldn't just become a memory. It'd be a cherished memory. You know what I'm trying to say?
I think so, too. And I think that with your children, I think one way is to, you know, if you can make it personal, I think it leaves an impression on them, too. That's why I always talk about my dad. My dad always talked, some of his were sort of tangible, and he would make it so real to me that during the war and during the Depression, they had this, it was mock butter, I think the name he called it. It was basically grease fat, and they used yellow dye to make it butter, and how much he hated it. And after the war, when I was a kid, even for the rest of his life, he put butter on everything and just enjoyed it because he remembered being deprived of it. It seems like such a small thing, and what's the big deal? But it was something it was a memory for him. So I've told Griffin that story, you know, so when he has butter, I'm like, who loved butter? And he's like, Grandpa Larry.
Yeah.
You know, it's little things like that.
Yeah. You just need to remember, you know, what the people before you have seen and learn and take, you know, learn to appreciate the little things like you did with your son there about butter.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, and my dad would tell me.
He's always had.
Well, my dad would tell me, like, my dad grew up in a neighborhood that had, you know, look, we know there was a lot of anti-Semitism, right? We know that there were people who didn't understand why we were fighting for Jewish people. But, and my dad was making fun of somebody who had a star in their window because he thought that it was a symbol for, my dad was a kid. He was a child. And he was making fun of the kid that lived there. And then he learned because the dad pulled him aside and said, my son is serving in that star. Is representing that we are, you know, that's a soldier that is serving abroad. And my dad always remembered that. And he also, as he got older, you know, understood why we were fighting for, you know, a whole population of people that were being, you know, were being killed, were being slaughtered. There's so much that my dad had such great stories, you know, but that my dad is a civilian. It was different than those of us who grew up with parents who served in the military. But we're trying to take a moment to do what little we can here. This is like basically really, honestly, the least we can do. Right. It's really the least we can do. Rich, thank you so much for calling and sharing your thoughts. We'll talk again soon.
My
pleasure. Thank you.
Bye.
One more before we take a quick break. Yes, we'll take Tony. Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Hey, it's great. Thanks. Great show. Great issue. So thanks for doing that.
Oh, that's, again, least I could do. You know, I'm just talking. There's so much more that the men and women do in uniform. I think that's what you're calling about too.
Yeah, no, I mean, my family, my uncle who, you know, he was in the Army and he's taken a lot of World War II tours over in Europe. We always talk about Pearl Harbor, celebrate the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's Sunday, you know, so government's not in business. And I don't think it's necessarily disrespectful that you didn't see specific demonstrations at football games. I think everybody honors deeply the service of all the military men and women. And I would say, in my opinion, I think at our sporting events, I think we go a little overboard, frankly. There's really no room for military planes to be flying over football stadiums. I mean, that's really a waste of tax dollars. The military planes should never be flying at the Air and Water Show. Again, a waste of tax dollars. So
well, do you think,
I think we do a great job of honoring our military. I think sometimes we we go a little overboard at some of these sporting events.
Well, let me ask you this, Tony. I mean, part of that, I think, is to remind young people what the military is capable of, even if it's kind of a cool, fun flyby, so that, you know, as they get older, because we do need another generation of men and women who will join the military. So I would say that that might be part of it, too, sort of have that moment of pride, because I was a lifeguard at the Air and Water Show, and I got to tell you, Tony, it is so cool.
Right.
And I know that that's not what you're talking about as far as tax dollars go.
Sometimes I do get the feeling, I could see this point, especially during sporting events, like when you're watching it on TV, mm-hmm. where it feels a little, I don't know what's the word, slightly expensive.
Jingoistic is the word.
You know, yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Militaristic.
Militaristic,
or,
right.
You know, just kind of, you know, they're still selling a product at the end of the, you know, it just, but, so I could see both sides of that.
Right, so, right.
Yeah, so, for me, yeah, ultimately I think the lesson of Pearl Harbor is this.
Yes.
When the Japanese attacked us, they had no idea what freedom was.
Right.
And so our job is really to not have a military. We have to go to the other countries, the Middle Eastern countries, the Asian countries. We have to teach them what democracy is, not by force, but by education, like we did with the Japanese after World War II. So I think that's the real lesson of Pearl Harbor for me. It's that we have to export democracy and peace, and we really have to watch our military budget, which is really out of control. And Patty, you have to be careful. There's a lot of brainwashing and propaganda happening to get these young people to be pro-military. And these corporations are making billions and billions of dollars. So,
well, and that's why I think
the propaganda.
We have to watch the propaganda. I think there's a balance to strike there. I think that if we raise our children to think with reason and logic, to see the difference between what they're being fed and what they want to do, I think that there's so many different aspects of life where you could say that, and we won't go into it. But if we raise our children to make their own choices, even if there is propaganda and there are these sort of necessary tools of trying to recruit, I think that's probably the best way to go, because we're not going to get rid of the propaganda, you know, but that's part of why we didn't descend into extremism the way the rest of the world did under propaganda of Nazism and socialism. Don't you think? It's because America kind of has a different one. We have a shorter, you know, we're newer. We were young in World War II. So, and what this country is built on has a history of, you know, here's the thing. We were in the middle of isolationism. We didn't want to have anything to do with the rest of the world.
Yeah, because people came out of World War One and they were in a mm-hmm. real shell shock mode out of World War One. They didn't want
and
to
angry.
Go to another war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I honestly, when I heard the story when I was a kid at D-Day mm-hmm. of young men getting off the boats and sinking to the ground because their equipment was too heavy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every single day that we breathe and live is a gift. And I thank you for your show.
Thank you so much, Tony. That was a wonderful sentiment to share with us as we go to a break. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. We are remembering Pearl Harbor, and we want to thank Bud for thanking us, because really, Bud, it's really the least we can do. I wish there was more we could do to call attention, to remind people that this is an important day in history. And I think that that's going to be my effort now, from now until the next year, is to remind people that this is something we should, you know, we should address and talk. Next year it's going to be a Monday, unless it's a are we on a leap year? I don't know. I can't remember. And we're going to take David's call when we come back. You're listening 720 WGN, Chicago's very own. You are listening Pretty Late, and we've been remembering Pearl Harbor. It's almost midnight, and I feel bad that I've left David on hold for a little bit. David, how are you doing?
Great, Patty. Thank you so much for taking my call. I do appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
And I'd like to echo your previous caller's sentiments as well. Thank you for helping to keep the memory alive. I think I do agree that I really did not see very much in the news report today at all, which is very sad.
It is. That's what I thought.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's such a pivotal time in our own history. And think of how different our world might have been if that day never had occurred.
Right.
But I, you know, like your father, my dad was very young. He was actually 4 years old on the Pearl Harbor Day. But he still, like your father, would tell me about what his community would do to support the war efforts. And that is what really bolstered my interest, I guess, mm-hmm. in remembering Pearl Harbor. I guess, for example, he remembered his own father having a victory garden in their backyard.
Right.
You know, so they would grow their own produce. I guess they were organic before it was in vogue, right?
Exactly.
And and also his he is so proud to always tell the story that his Catholic parish in Joliet raised enough money to purchase a fighter plane actually for the U.S. Air Force.
Oh wow!
And so because they would take collections and they would take scrap metal and donate it towards the war effort. And this is the Catholic Church doing the same in Joliet. So those are the sort of stories that you just don't hear about or you even read about in history books. And only from someone that had lived it or lived through it or alongside it might be able to express that. My father's still alive to this day and will still tell me stories like this. He actually lost a cousin on the Arizona as well. He was a gunner.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a gunner.
And that's
I'm not sure how old his cousin was at the time.
Right.
But,
right, it's closer than the thing is that everything that happened that day, everything that happened in World War II is closer than it feels these days, and I think we need to remember how much it impacts us in our lives and our freedoms, and even people who don't like the protesters, even they are protected by the rights that we protected during World War II. David, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your thoughts and remembrances.
And Patty, thank you for the opportunity. You have a great evening.
Absolutely. You're listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio on the miraculous Michigan Avenue. I'm joined in studio by a good friend of mine and a wonderful comedian and actor, James Vickery, and I'm also joined by another friend of mine, Meg Rooney. We've only been friends for a little bit. I think you came on the show for the first time to talk about Just the Tip earlier this year, and then I would keep watching these Vine videos, and I'm like, how many characters is she going to do? And then I realized you were doing one a day, and we had you in at the very end of this on August 31st, and Meg Greenwald is in studio. She's an actor and a comedian. Would you say actor comedian?
Yeah.
Are you a slash comedian?
Yeah.
And writer?
Yeah.
I would say this also is writing.
Yeah, I write and film and do everything. And I would also call myself a makeup artist.
Yeah, I would say that.
I do all the hair and makeup and by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's kind of expensive.
Yeah.
You told me last time that where did you get all the, you had like a bunch of supplies and you're like, I need to do something with this.
Yeah, I was actually buying wigs for another project, which is now out on YouTube called Sweating Off the Spare Pounds, Fitness for the Lady Bowler. And it's like an 80s.
I've seen it.
It's like an 80s parody fitness video.
Love it.
It's so fantastic.
Thank you. So I bought wigs for that. And so then I started to realize, I have a lot of wigs. Hey, it'd be cool to see how many different people I could be, because I was trying on the wigs and I'm like, whoa, I look really different.
Mm-hmm.
So I started collecting my things. I'm like, I should just do a character a day. And I was going to just do a picture. And then somebody said you should do a Vine. And I was like, okay,
right.
That 6 seconds is fine, because YouTube, I'm not going to upload a video every day. That's just, I know myself. I am ambitious, but I am also lazy sometimes.
Well, you should do like one a week maybe now. What we do is you compile these and do a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Like a compilation for every week. Then there is the pressure of dropping something every
week. There is. But the thing is so when I do a character, I do a bunch of Vines as them. So I film for hour or half an hour or however long I'm inspired for. And then I save them all and I release them.
Oh, okay, there you go.
I release them because it's been a lot of trial and error on Vine too. Like, if you put out too many in a row, you lose followers because people are like, ugh, this is the same thing over and over and over again. Or you gain followers because they're like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Right.
So it's all about, sort of like don't give too much, but never give. And then it's also, being active in the community, like responding to people's things, saying thank you. And I am very appreciative of everybody who follows and comments. And, even the people that, every now and then I do get a comment where people are like, I don't like this character.
Okay.
And like, I either I'm offended by him. I'm offended by it. Or like, oh, this one makes me feel uncomfortable. Or like,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
It is good. It's great.
Well, and the one you had a couple weeks ago, there was a boxer. Not even a couple weeks ago. This is just this week.
Yeah, just Monday.
Was it your first of December?
First of December, yeah.
Yeah. She was beat up.
Oh, yeah. She's beat up. And, but she's the victor.
Yeah. She won't. Yeah, she's happy.
Yeah,
but she is demolished facially.
Some are Duffy. So I do spend a lot of time figuring out the right appropriate name for each character. So for me, she was a tough girl, but I wanted her to have that really girly name.
Mm-hmm. Summer.
Summer Duffy. And it's like, well,
it's almost like a feminine hygiene product.
Yeah, I know.
Summer.
It'll fight for you.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, she, you know, it's. It was.
She's tough.
Yeah, she's tough.
She's really.
She's tough.
Yeah,
she's tough. And so a lot of people were like, this is my new favorite feminist.
I love it. I have a challenge for you, an idea.
Yes.
One character an hour for like 3 days straight.
Why 3 days? I think one character an hour.
I mean, I am usually as many different people as I can be throughout the day. So.
There you go.
Who do I need to be right now? Right? With this cab driver? Summer Duffy.
Well, yeah,
maybe shopping. Maybe, you know, maybe you're, Tiffany. How do you say it? Tiffany Lies.
Her name is Tiffany Lizet. Oh, what? Yes. Hello, Tiffany Alizé.
Oh, Tiffany Alizé.
Tiffany Alizé.
Yeah, you don't just say
she's
it.
She's like one of them New York rappers. And I had like, I bought that wig for $15, and I was like, what is this character going to be? And then I started putting on my money sign clip-on
earrings,
big gold earrings, and then she was born.
And how do you get the tattoo on then? Is that like a
that was a challenge because I originally did a cursive love, you know, looking in the mirror, but when I filmed, it was backwards.
Right, because you think it's going to be backwards,
exactly.
But actually it's in real
and
time.
And I know that because I did a tattoo for my prisoner, so I had freedom over my eyebrows, so I knew you had to write backwards, and I was like, so what I did is I took paper. This is the to the depths I do. I take a piece of paper, I traced love a love calligraphy kind of tattoo thing from the internet. Overdid it in Sharpie so you could see through it. Then put black eyeliner over it as a transfer.
Okay.
And then transferred on to my neck. Like an outline and then traced it over with black eyeliner.
If you wonder what this looks like, go to Vine.com right now and look for Meg Grunewald. That's Grunewald. And she's up to 10,200 followers. So if you
I just started in August. So it's just like apparently a big deal.
So the loops. So how do they count the loops? Because you're over 7 million loops. Is that, if I'm like just letting this run, that counts as a loop?
Because
right now Tiffany is looping.
Yeah. Each time that you just let her sit. She's accumulating.
Who should I let sit? Do you want me to let somebody else
she's
sit?
She's a new one. She's a new one. I'll try to get the...
Yeah, go ahead and let it sit.
Yeah, let it sit.
Let it sit.
Yeah, so it's so interesting, this just understanding the world of Vine. And I've had people, you know, I've had for a while people being like, you're so talented, but like, I don't know why people don't know more about you. And
you're like, me too.
I was like, yeah.
Age-old question.
Hello. And I've had a lot of people write me privately, like asking questions and giving advice. And
right.
One of them was a fairly big Viner. Her name is Harmony Smith, and she has about 400,000 plus followers. Her and her son do vines, and they're adorable. And
kids and animals.
Yeah,
Meg. You need kids and animals in your next one.
Yeah, I mean, and he's. I know. I do have cats, the Samson character. But she
right.
She left me. You know, she spent time and took time to talk to me and tell me about like. Titling your vines and how you should label things so that people want to share them and how you can make it relate to people. And so once I kind of took her advice, it was like, oh my goodness, this is okay. Now things start to catch up because people
momentum rewind
behind
them. It. Right.
Exactly. And then bigger people who have, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers revine my things.
And that helps, right.
And that helps. And it's, you know, it's like, ooh, it's like Christmas every time that somebody revines something that goes out to a lot of people. It's suddenly like, cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. But, and it's just like, oh, you're like,
I don't know.
I
have to revine her. Wait a second. How do I, because I'm not on Vine, but I can retweet it, right?
You could retweet it.
All right,
oh,
so
okay.
I don't really know a lot about Vine.
This is
cool.
Connected with Twitter, but I don't really do Twitter. So
you and Kristen need to do a Vine series.
I love the Vine idea.
The Vine is, it's really fun. And there's just, you know, there is a space for everybody on there. There's people that are, you know, there's young kids doing stuff. There's older guys. I mean, there's like some old guy his name's Old Man Steve, and he just does films himself being like, like just doing weird stuff, and you're like, ah, well, there's a following for that.
Well, 6 seconds. Yeah,
for 6 seconds, it's like, okay.
Can I tell you something funny? I talked to Patty on the phone a little earlier tonight. I was coming on, And she was walking on Michigan Avenue. So I didn't, it was a little hard to hear, I'll say. But she said, you know, I have a guest coming in tonight. I thought she said she does mime characters, which I was intrigued by, but I was like, interesting for the radio.
Well, I was contemplating coming in as a character, and then I'm like, well, no one's going to see this.
Right. Oh, we're live streaming on WGN.
Yeah, we're
live.
Oh,
man.
Oh.
I should have come in.
Okay, so Meg, so for that, then, we have to make sure we get you on before the end of the month. She's already a character. She didn't even know. That camera right there is on you.
Oh.
So there are four cameras. I'll show you during the break, I'll show you where the cameras are.
Okay,
and,
good. Go.
Yeah, no one knows that Steve Ruxin is sitting behind you enjoying a cookie right now. No one knows that that's happening. Thank you for coming down, by the way. I appreciate that. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. I'm joined in studio by comedian and actor James Vickery and comedian and actor Meg Grunewald. I find her on Vine. Do it right now and then call us, 312-981-7200, because you're going to laugh. When we come back, more with these fun folks.
You want to hang with this lady? You bet you want.
I do want to hang with this lady. I so want to hang with Tiffany Alizé. We're talking to Meg Grunewald, who is a creator of Tiffany Alizé, the character that she has posted on Vine today, along with 56 other characters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because your goal is to do good night, goodbye, Steve Ruxton. Have a lovely, thank you for the news.
Thanks for the sugar.
Yeah, absolutely. Sugar from Stella Barra, by the way. Thank you to Stella Barra. We'll talk a little bit more about them later because we're talking to Meg Grunewald about her 57 characters that she's created on her road to creating 100. She's doing one every night, every day.
Every day.
I'm saying night because that's when I get to see them. I wake up at night.
Awesome.
A little bit. Oh, look what she did tonight. Oh, that was earlier.
So
you
I just
see the daylight in your
I just have the
shot.
Rule that I just have to record it from – I only do the one character a day, and I have to do that character between 12 a.m. and 11:59 p.m.
Okay.
So I have to find time in my day.
Right.
Oh gosh! I didn't see part of the process.
Oh
yet.
Yeah, I've been posting process vines.
Right out of Poltergeist.
Pulling your eye out.
A lot of people are like, you know, how do you do this, and how long does it take you, and you know, kind of behind the scenes, which I don't normally do, but I've been starting to do them just because.
That's Summer Duffy, the boxer from the first day of December. And what kind of material are you using for this? So she's a boxer who has a lot of face lacks. I'm going to say some lacerations, some bruising and open wounds.
Mm-hmm. And she's got a black eye, but it's also puffy. It's a fresh one.
It has to be raised.
Swollen, yeah.
Right. You have to make it three dimensional.
Yeah. So I use a thing called, nose and scar wax.
Mm-hmm.
So you put on spirit gum on your skin, and it makes it kind of this tackiness. And then you put on this almost like a clay, and you put that on there, and you shape it over it, and then you put liquid latex over that, and then you can put foundation,
the makeup, and everything.
Yeah, and makeup. So I use that, and I use a bruise wheel, and I use
a bruise
blood.
Wheel.
Yeah,
a
bruise wheel. It's a color.
The worst party game ever.
Bruise wheel. Come on, play with your friends and punch each other in the face.
Drunk bruises. What did I walk into?
The bruise wheel is just, they, Ben Nye, the theater makeup, they make these different wheels, and it has all the colors that you would need to make a bruise at any stage of its healing process.
Fresh bruise.
Fresh bruise, older bruise.
Which is what
bruise.
Color? What's a fresh bruise?
Fresh bruise, I think, is more like red purple right away.
What's green?
Green is when it's sort of starting to heal.
Green and
yellow
is
when it
green,
starts
yeah.
to heal out. But and I don't, you know, I watch tutorials, but I watch them very briefly, and then I just do my own thing. And I'm like, this looks good to me.
I'm gonna wing it.
Wing it
because it's to give you an idea of it. You're doing them every day. You don't. You're not trying to put this on in the movies. You're
correct.
Not special
and,
effects.
Yeah, and so you know, every now and then people be like. Well, a lot of that Summer Duffy thing, a lot of people thought, they were like, this is fake. And it's like...
Fake what? Of course it's fake.
And like, they didn't realize it was like, because I, you know, I said, do I think I can win? Like, it's just, there's a lot of like little eight-year-olds that don't know what they're looking at.
But they're adults, but they are eight-year-olds.
Yes, but there are also eight to ten-year-olds that are like, I'm fine. And it's just like...
I don't...
Okay, and you have no likes on anything that you do, but...
You know what? That's how
you want to go on everybody's page and just troll and be like, this is stupid. This one girl, she just went through all my vines and wrote, dumb, 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 dumb.
Oh, gosh.
Like, you're 13. What? You
have not earned
things to do. Come on.
You have not earned a space on this thread.
Exactly.
You
know what? I will say I edit. I edit. If somebody puts on there, follow me, follow, if they're using my Vine.
Or an advertisement.
Or an advertisement to promote,
mm-hmm.
I remove those. Sure. And if you start being extremely overtly rude to me or anything mm-hmm. like that, like if you have an opinion, that's fine.
Right.
But if you're rude to me, I just remove your
absolutely.
Your comment. Because you know what? It's like, that's not what I want in my world.
And enjoying Meg Grunewald is a privilege, not
exactly,
a right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just saying.
About you could have it taken away like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I feel about Facebook when people want to start. I'm like, do you understand when it says friends or like? You know, on my Facebook, like Patty V Show for WGN, it's you like that page, so don't go there if you don't
I know,
like
it's,
me.
I know. People are just like, I don't like this character. I'm like, okay.
All right.
There's going to be a different one tomorrow.
Right.
I've done 57.
Yeah, I'm like, there's 57 other ones that you can
And it
enjoy.
Was 6 seconds. Did yeah. you? Yeah, what happened? Did you get bored halfway through?
Or just, I mean, I've offended people mm-hmm. and, you know, starts Let's, conversations.
We'll talk about, I want to get into that too, because that seems like a longer discussion. Because
yeah,
because, you know, I want to say with the makeup first, because not only do you do the makeup, you also have, you have the wigs. You said you started collecting mm-hmm. for, what was the name of the video for YouTube?
Sweating Off the Spare Pounds, Fitness for the Lady Bowler.
Sweating Off. And by the way, please, if you can pull that one up, I don't know, Caitlin, even if it's just for you to watch, Sweating Off the Spares.
Spare pound, yeah,
spare
like
S P A R E. It's real. I mean, I really enjoyed that one.
I love the title.
It's meant to be one of a series, so it'd be Fitness for the Professional Lady Fitness series is mm-hmm. what it's called. And so another one would be for pool playing, and it would be never felt better.
Oh.
Fitness for the Lady Pool Player.
You sure it's not get a cue?
Ooh.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No,
but I'm also doing darts. So but I wanted to be like something about target any
yeah,
man our, you want. Or
yes,
something.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
So, but it's basically these are sports that there's no fitness for it. So the pool play will be like a lot of lunging.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, you have to do golfing. I know. People get mad at me. People get mad at
oh,
me.
Oh yeah, you just somebody just like.
The thing is, I would
you
do ride, golfing.
You
I would
ride
do,
a little. You walk a little.
I would do golfing. But Tracy Ullman already has done
the quintessential
lady golfer. And so, but the thing about it is the Linda Mackey Nichols. I'm Linda Mackey Nichols. She's the lady from the video. She's going to be the she's going to be the host for every video because
okay.
that lady is a professional lady athlete in sports that are not
right.
like a big, right. So she's like the bowling champ. She's, and one of the funniest things is that when I was researching and then, deciding like, oh, what are other possible follow-up ones? She goes, I'm 7-time PWBA champion. So that's professional women's bowling, PWBA, oh. Professional Women's Bowling Association. The billiards is like WPBA or something. Like it's a little bit of a yeah. switch that it's enough like, those who will know will be like, oh, what? Oh,
it's all related.
Yeah.
We are talking to actor and comedian Meg Grunewald and actor and comedian James Vickery. More with them when we come back on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
Having been a professional lady bowler for over 10 years, I understand the toll bowling can take on the female figure. Stick with these moves and you'll be kicking that gut to the gutter. And your curveballs won't be the only curves on the lane.
That's Meg Grunewald.
Meg
Grunewald, who is the she got more to say.
A few funny looks, but stick with the program, and you'll be turning heads for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get started.
Video in our minds.
It's Meg Grunewald, and that's her video on YouTube. Sweating off the spare pounds.
Yes, and sweating off the spare pounds. Fitness for the lady bowler.
Fitness for. The male bowlers have to go somewhere else.
Yeah. I was inspired because I was at Waveland Bowl one night, and there were all these older ladies doing league night, and we had to wait around for them to finish. And I was like, you know, this is great. All these older ladies, you know, keeping sharp, keeping connected with people, staying in shit.
Just
drinking beer and eating cheese fries. There's no fitness. And so then I was like, well, actually, you could, you know, because I do CrossFit, so I'm like, oh, well, there are ways you could use things in there to do, and then that's where that came from.
You mentioned that very quickly you jumped over, you do CrossFit. What is CrossFit? Because you've got some guns. I've seen you in a dress and a lovely evening gown local Emmys.
Thank you.
With Bitter Jester winning a couple of those.
Yes, I did a character in the limo as her, named Violet Barker. I've never been in a limo before. This is really nice. And then propositioning Nick and his friends for good times.
That's because his parents weren't in the limo this time, were they?
No.
Okay, that helps.
No, but he recruited them to, you know, he's like, I'm not just paying for myself, I'm paying for my friends. And he moves aside and they're in the back just like, hi! but yeah, it was pretty fun. But CrossFit it's a workout that is constant. The movements are constantly varied. A lot of the movements are functional movements. A lot of powerlifting, Olympic weightlifting type of things.
What?
I know.
Yeah, so like deadlifting.
Team just got scared
I just finished a bacon chocolate cookie.
Yeah, from Stella Barra. Bacon, they like bacon. Yeah. But, you know, there's other, these moves sound very dirty, but they're not. The clean and jerk, the snatch,
Jeez.
You know, the deadlift, whatever. So these are things, but usually the workouts are only, you know, they can be anywhere from 7 minutes to 25 minutes. So some of them are 4 minutes, but you're basically working out what you would do in an hour in 4 minutes.
Wow.
So it's
I like that.
It's high intensity interval type of stuff. Sometimes it's just, you know, you have to do, here's a movement, 5 pull-ups, 10 push-ups, 15 air squats.
Is that how you get the arms? Because I mean, I would like
can
to
you do
that.
Personal, do you do personal training?
What I don't do it? Personal training. I'm not trained, but I do know quite a bit, and I'm very avid about like people taking care of themselves, and so I try to
don't look at my cookies.
Yeah, don't.
I just ate one myself. I mean, there's evidence on the video camera. So
WGNRadio.com for evidence that Meg Grunewald is both a CrossFit cookie eater, and a character developer extraordinaire. I don't know if that's not really your title, character developer.
No, I'll take it. Extraordinaire. I'll take it.
Extraordinaire. I don't know if character developer is the way you want to title that.
Just a character.
A character.
CD.
Developer, writer, makeup artist, and all of that you're doing.
Yeah.
And so what you mentioned earlier that you've, you know, caused some people to react negatively, and in particular, because you do everything. You're doing different races.
I do. There are some races that I have not gotten to, and I don't directly actually go straight towards race. I do have like a Hispanic character, a couple of Hispanic characters, and I have a character that this is the one that sparked some debate. Her name is Heaven Davis, and she is the receptionist. And she's like, give me a vanilla culada. She's that girl.
She's ordering from someone else in the office.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not wasting this hair tonight. But people are saying, so a lot of comments were like, this is just modern day blackface. Somebody saying, you're so talented, but portraying people of color isn't cool. And I wrote him, and I said, if you know, this to me, this character's white. This is actually, like, I've met this kind of girl.
Who is white, who talks
white,
like this.
Who talks
yes.
like this because she is in that culture. And so I said, if you see color, I go, this character's meant to be white. If you see color, that's your view.
Right. And how is that not racist, then, for you to assume that Meg is doing a Hispanic character?
Well, here's where this started. So the gentleman that commented on this is white. And then there was this gentleman that was black that followed me. And he saw that comment, and he made a, you know, reference to that guy saying, you know, what about this character is saying, she's not, where does she say that she's black? She doesn't say anything racist.
Right.
All this stuff. And he says, you know, look, the mannerisms, the affectation. He goes, so now what you're saying is that there's a thing called acting black, and you're showing your own prejudice now. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And then they went into this little debate about, like, I mean, it was
that's
45
great.
Comments back and forth each other about just, you know, education is, and blah, blah, you know, education is a learning process, and you need to learn. Okay, and you need to learn, and all this, and just getting sassy with each other. And, you know, and I appreciate the guy sticking up for me because, and I wrote both of them privately afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I wrote the black gentleman, and I said, you know, thank you so much for just addressing that issue, because I actually told him before, like 15 days prior to that person getting into it with him, in a private message, that this is not somebody of color. This is actually a white person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like, and it's, to me, that really isn't even a race debate. It's actually a class debate. Or, you know, it's like right. that she is from a certain class level. And that's what I'm experimenting and trying on.
Right.
Not acting black.
Right.
So,
and you don't say that anywhere, neither in the description or from herself. Right.
No,
she's owning a colada.
Yeah. She just wants her colada. And I don't name people specifically. I do have Sylvia Flores, but there, you know, I am very careful in how I, you know, approach this. So I wrote that gentleman and I said, thank you so much. And he said, I don't normally like to get in debates and drama on Vine, but I felt you were being very misrepresented and what you're doing is fantastic. And I just wish you the best. And I just couldn't let him just make claims on something that's not true.
Well, what do you think? Even if you were, let's say, James, even if she were saying she was doing a Hispanic or a black character or a Chinese or a Korean character, I mean, like, what about art says that you were limited to not being able to sort of embody a different culture to represent that?
And I, you know,
in your imagination, because you are creating these characters. I mean, then are all the characters that you do then also making fun of white people?
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
And you can only do that, and an actor should never portray anything but whatever doesn't.
They're capable of.
Right.
Exactly. So I wrote the other gentleman that started this debate, and I, you know, I had a conversation with him. He's like, I'm sorry, you know, he was expecting me to curse him out and get mad, and I said, you know what? I'm an artist.
Yeah.
What I'm doing, I'm like, just know what I'm doing. I'm very calculated in what I'm doing. I name them. I spend time naming them. I spend time researching these people. And I like to portray people from all walks of life. And, you know, it's like, I'm sorry if you see color, but these are types of people I see all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I've been asked to do Asian characters. I've been asked to do, you know, an Indian character. And I said, I like to give as much integrity and sincerity and depth to these characters. And until I can find a way to do that, then I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say I would never do an Asian character, but I'm definitely not going to be doing something like so stereotypical. You'd find that it would actually be, you know, like probably just more like an Asian American.
Right.
like just being like, yeah.
It'd be generic.
Right.
Generic.
Right.
And so I just had to make it very clear to him that, you know, it's like, I'm not just putting out stuff to catch attention.
Or to
cause controversy and all this. I said, you know, I'm very calculated in what I do. I'm an artist. I take very, very, big pride in what I do. And for you to just come on there and make claims about it, I said, is not really fair.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, thank you so much. I respect you a lot more, and I respect what you're doing. And I'm like,
there you go. I think you won a fan.
How do we not get there first?
Right.
So, you know, I'm so willing to take the time and have conversations with people. You know, and then I also get questions, fun questions that are just like, how do you do your makeup? How do you figure out your characters? I want to do more. Like,
yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Let's find out more about that when we come back. You're listening to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. I'm live in the Allstate Showcase studio with comedian and actor Meg Grunewald and comedian and actor James Vickery. We're going to talk to them some more when we come back. 720 WGN.
Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well.
I think Meg Grunewald and I like this song very much. I don't know if Meg's familiar with it. I am not. James is watching us dance live in the Allstate Showcase studio.
I like it too. I just can't dance.
Yes, you can. So really WGNradio.com. If you go quick, you can still catch it because we are live streaming on a little bit of a delay. But Meg and I just we keep dancing. There it is.
It's worth watching. You should.
It is worth watching. Meg, sometimes we work out during the news breaks.
Oh, I love it.
My producer, Craig Collins. I haven't done it with Caitlin yet, but we should start working out together.
We could do a whole CrossFit.
Yeah,
in 4 minutes.
Yes. Commercial break, we could do a CrossFit.
I do Fit Blender on YouTube, so they're anywhere from 4 minutes to an hour and a half. I usually do the 4 minutes.
That's a big discrepancy.
Yes. Well, because some of the warm-ups.
How much time you got?
I do 4 minute abs with Mike Chang on YouTube, and he does three different ab moves in and then four times. So a little bit of crunch, a little bit of the Russian row with your feet up, and then you throw your hips up in the air and like on your shoulder blades or something.
Oh yeah,
ridiculous. Yeah, I do.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio with Meg Grunewald and James Vickery. They're both actors and comedians. And James, you've just returned from Los Angeles.
I did. I was in Los Angeles for a few weeks.
Yeah, and doing stand-up.
Doing stand-up out there. Did a show at the Steve Allen Theater, which was cool.
Oh, nice.
And it was a show, actually, I did. It starts at midnight. It's called The Tomorrow Show.
That's a fun time.
It's great. It's a wacky kind of variety show. Emo Phillips was co-hosting the night I was there, which was cool. And 2 weeks before that,
Emo was co-hosting.
Mm-hmm.
How strange was that?
He played in the band. Yeah, it was a pretty strange night.
Yeah.
2 weeks before that, Louis C.K. stopped by to do a set.
But you weren't there.
I was not there for that.
Mad were you at yourself for not being in the right place?
I know. It was a madhouse that night. But no, that was a cool show. I had a good trip. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow I'm going to be at the Double Door here in Chicago, I should say.
Oh, good.
There's a show that's been running there. John Griffin's been putting it together, producing it. And it's their two-year anniversary show. The big 2 year spectacular, and I'm part of it. So it's a cool show.
What's the name of the show?
It's called The Hilarity Will Hit Your Ear, I want to say. Showcase, but it's at the door number three.
We have to look that up.
I have to look that up. But it's 9 o'clock. It's only $5 at the Double Door. Door number three. Cool little spot. It's got a real cool hip vibe. So
where's the Double Door? Do you know the intersections?
Yep. North Avenue and Damon.
North Avenue and Damon.
Right across from a great little taco place called Flash Taco.
Oh, hold on a second. Now I'm going. Oh, well, tomorrow I'm supposed to be at the Hungry Brain. Hungry Brain tomorrow has one. They're closing.
Hungry Brain. I used to live next door to that bar. Great bar.
They're closing this month.
What?
They're closing, Meg.
Come
meet us out tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's a show at 9 o'clock there too. I'm sorry. I shouldn't cross. That's awful.
Yeah.
Go to Double Door.
No, go wherever. Go wherever you guys want.
Music at Hungry Brain. Comedy at Double Door.
Exactly. Very different.
Yes. Very, very different. So it depends on what your fancy is tomorrow. Meg Grunewald has 57 characters right now available. Streaming on Vine. You can loop them. You can just hear the same 6 seconds.
There are some that I'll upload, and it's like, nah, man, oh, man, all right. And I'm like, oh, no. Because every time I loop it, and it starts, oh, man, oh, man, oh, no. Oh, man. I'm like, oh, no, it's getting in my brain, and what did I do?
Make it stop. These are very funny. And today you did Tiffany Alizé.
Yep.
Tiffany Alizé.
Tiffany Alizé.
It rolls off the tongue, and the voices that you do, and you were saying just before the break, you were talking about some arguments that you got into with.
I just realized I think you're sexist for making fun of women all the time.
Interesting. Yeah. And when you do a man, then are you also making?
I'm offended. This is the funniest thing is that people will be offended by everything, and I did one. I did this construction worker. He's like, damn, you get me, my cooler, it's the blue one. But I took the cough, the and I made a little loop, and I wrote I said smokers be like, dot, dot, dot. This whole thing on mine, like, so-and-so be like.
No, smokers got mad?
This girl writes, my parents are smokers, I'm offended.
What? That's a new one.
I was like,
wow.
What?
Maybe you should spend your time begging your parents to stop smoking.
Right. Yeah, I was like, stop talking to me and try to tell your parents to save their life. Okay.
And I say that, by the way, those of you who want to get offended, my father died of small cell lung cancer. So I will say every day of my life, I beg my father to stop smoking. And at the end of his life, he said he wished he had listened to me.
Really?
So,
my mom still smokes and quit for a while and smokes. Yeah, and it's hard because she knows she should, I bring it up, and it's a tough, I don't know what
they're
to do.
They get very stubborn, they get very defensive,
right?
And it's hard.
It's one of my favorite props to do a character with. Because
it's a great prop.
There's so many different ways that people smoke cigarettes
in a sexy way.
They're smoking in a sexy way, they smoke it in this kind of pinchy, like, joint looking way, and then there's also like. Teenagers, they're holding it like this. Or I have actually this sort of joke character. I haven't done it yet. Maybe I'll throw it in there. But it's the women who are new moms that finally get out of the house to go out, like, hang out with their girlfriends on a girl's night out. And they're, like, outside smoking going, like, oh my God, what am I doing? I am being so bad right now.
Right.
I am being so bad. What am I doing? I am a mother of two. I am drinking Captain and diet and smoking a cigarette. Who am I? Oh my God, I'm so bad. And then they just, you know, and then it's like, okay, now you're like a, you know, 16-year-old girl again.
Right.
But yeah. I love a cigarette as, I hate a cigarette, but I love a cigarette as a prop. I also love gum as a prop.
Oh, really? Oh, there's nothing
like
more
today,
annoying.
Tiffany Alizé, I had to put gum in my mouth to.
Can she pop
to
it?
Sort of get into the thing. I didn't have the bubble yum, so I didn't have the good stuff. But, you know, it's like sometimes I'm trying to find a voice and then I'll, you know, decide to like talk, you know, move my lips together, and then it's a totally different type of person.
And that's what you do as an actor, is that you find the, you know, and part of it is, you know, this the idea of sense memory. What are you doing from your own experiences? But what would it be like if my body moved like this? If my jaw, you know, if I develop, you know, if growing up I tensed up more, if I made myself smaller, if I made myself bigger, it's all those different things that you bring to your characters. I know, James, you also studied sketch comedy and improv as well.
I did. Yeah. I was thinking about this as you're talking. And I'm not a big character guy.
That's what makes us stand up comics,
right?
A monologist, because people always ask why are, because you know, you were saying people ask why aren't you more famous, and they ask us why we're not at Second City or why we don't go out for Saturday Night Live, why we're not doing, you know, like, because I tell stories.
Yeah.
I'm a monologist. And I'm not, the characters that I do are based on people that I know that I actually am mimicking, whereas you're creating a character from the bottom up, maybe including things that you've
come
across.
Yeah, they're definitely including, you know, some vibes from people that I do know or, you know, have met, but I'm definitely not doing impressions.
Right.
I did have a great piece of advice. I did go through the Second City Conservatory and sketch. I think you could in improv and sketch still stay pretty close to yourself. You know, there's just different types of performers.
Right.
But Jean Villepique was one of my teachers. She was awesome. She was a main stage person there. She's in LA now. But she said, when you're doing a character, do someone you know really well or an animal. Like, you know, and an animal, like, bring an animal element to a person.
Yes.
And
I had an idea, actually, because before I knew that this Vine thing was going to pick up, I had an idea to do another creative thing of characters inspired by pictures of animals.
Oh.
So, you know, you'd have, you know, like, what would that old, like, gibbon-looking guy look like? Or,
and what
you
would
know,
he
what,
do?
Yeah, what would he do? Or, like, what would a, like, to me, like, a giraffe is, like, is almost like a very stuck-up Talbots type of woman.
Well,
you know, or very,
that.
Like, just very, very put together, very confident kind of, everything's sort of up here.
Right.
You know, as opposed to, like, and an ape, it's like, it's a kind of maybe like a big construction worker guy or something like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of like a Frank Marsh, but
I like
maybe,
this game.
Like, you know.
What's a penguin?
A penguin is, a penguin might be this kind of guy.
I can see that, yeah.
I love this.
It's just like, that would be fun to like take a picture and then do a side by side of, you know, just to see what it would be.
And what are some of the upcoming characters that you've got planned out? Do these come to you and you know that you've kind of planned them out?
I have a whole, like I have some plotted out. Like I'm going to do a steward, a flight attendant.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, but I need certain props for it. And I'm very particular and I won't do one just, you know, half seas because I don't have something.
Safety stuff? Is that the props you're
doing? Oh, the airbag?
No, I need a, like a, hi, good morning.
Oh, yeah.
I need
so
a
radio.
A little whatever, intercom thing. So she's going
to,
she's one
the
of
American,
them.
American Surplus, American Science
oh,
Surplus.
Yeah.
I think.
Need, oh, girl, you just gave me, I need to go
I'm
there.
Just saying, they got rows and rows
oh,
of
yeah.
things
I gotta,
that feed what you do.
I forgot. I totally should go there because I, you know, I do use hand props as well.
Plus they have like helmets and they have, and also Army Surplus on Lincoln Avenue by,
Oh yeah, that scary one.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a couple. No,
really
no,
nice
no.
The Belmont,
no.
Isn't there one in Belmont
Lincoln,
too?
I think it's Lincoln and Belmont.
Is right it? By the Starbucks.
No, there's another one. Lincoln, I want to say it's farther south and east on Lincoln. I'll think of it.
But. I think I know what you're talking about.
It's by the Scientology headquarters.
Yes.
There. Yes, okay.
I know which one you're talking about. That was the one I was thinking. It was
scary
one.
A scary one. Okay.
But, no, I have some upcoming characters. These are ones I'm hoping to do. I mean, I literally have more wigs than I know what to do with at my house right now. But
your house has to be an interesting
it
place
is.
To
I have
visit.
A closet where I finally hung up all the thrift most of the thrift clothes that I've gotten, and I have all the characters that I've already done, their outfits all together, and then possible other new things that I just have bought because I'm like, this will be a good piece. I don't know who this character is.
Right.
Just, this looks like fun. Like, and I'm cheerleading outfit. I haven't done anything with that yet.
And that will come to you because...
And it does. And it's sort of like, sometimes it's like, how much time do I have? And how much do I want to get into this today?
Right, right.
Some days that, you know, I mean, I feel it every day, but there are some days that I'm like, I better do that. But it's
if you give a choice. Some days it's a work and some days it's inspiration.
Exactly. But I have a list of stuff and I've plotted out kind of how I want to do it. I want to do, you know, a Chicago cop type of guy that's, you know, got the coffee and the holster and the badge and, and so that kind of stuff. And, you know, just talking to some kids about, you know, being good. Be good kids, okay?
Be safe.
So be safe, you know, and God bless. And so I have that, but I also have this woman, Lynn Thompson, that everybody loves, and she's the one that goes, oh, my God, oh, there's a fest for tacos. Honey, you love Mexican. And she's just they're the couple that just talk to each other from distances.
Oh.
So I have to do her husband, Ron.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do her husband, Ron. He's coming up. So he'll, you know, he'll be basically doing a lot of responses to things that she's asked for. Like, Mexican gives me indigestion or something.
Right.
You know. So he's a fun
so
one.
So you have a give and take. Yeah. Each character.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I can splice them together because a couple other ones are married to each other. But another one I'm aiming to do is a baby with a baby torso.
Nice.
So like somehow that. Do that. And I am... I got to do a corpse.
Oh,
and have it as a voiceover.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
So like
it.
What the corpse would be thinking.
I want to see your makeup for that one. That'd
I know. Me
too. So I got to make myself look really super plastic.
Go to vine.com, find Meg Grunewald, and you'll be entertained and really, I mean, you can go through 57 characters right now at 6 seconds each.
And
it's
so consumable. And pretty much most of all of them have multiple vines that go with those characters too. So if,
and
you,
I have
if
the
you're
behind
searching
the scenes too.
And the behind the scenes, but if you're searching, click on the character name because that links all of them together. If you like a character, just click on that character's
or
name.
Or clink on them. We don't know.
Or clink on them. You know, yeah, drink while thing. You do it.
Plan and Meg is gonna be back before the end of the month. We'll figure out that date because we want to see how the month has progressed. And you also have Sketchfest coming up in January with Just the Tip.
Yes, I do. We are January 10th at 5 p.m. in the Box Theater at Stage 773 first during the Sketchfest.
And are you doing any comedy sports coming up that we should?
I am always doing comedy sports.
Always doing comedy sports.
Always do. You know, come by. It's a different. It's totally a different side of me than what I do on Vine. But it's a great show, and we have a lot of holiday shows coming up. So,
yeah.
You know, we have also three shows on New Year's Eve if people are looking for something to do. We have a 5, we have a 7, and we have a 10.
That's wonderful.
And we do a ball drop at each one of them, and
also you celebrate
hats
New Year's
and everything,
Eve.
And we celebrate New Year's Eve, you know, three times. But if our people are looking for something to do with their families, I'm playing in the 5 o'clock one, and it's a really, really super fun place to be. Especially
bring your kids,
on that.
Yeah. What a great
it's
way.
Early enough.
It's
yeah,
an all it's ages good. Show, and it, you know, it's a great place to be. You walk in, seeing parents and families kind of exhausted from a vacation, like I'm about to rip your head off, and by the end of the night, they're walking out laughing and giggling, and you know, it kind of rejuvenates them as a family, and it's just a really awesome place to be, and. And I love performing there.
So comedy sports, and you can also find her CrossFitting.
Yes.
And go to YouTube and find Sweating Off the Spare Pounds. That's Meg Greenwald. She'll be back before the end of the month, and she'll be back after that because we have Sketchfest with Jessica Antes.
Yes.
And I don't know who else is in
Just we're going to try to get them all.
Get them all. Bring them all in here.
Best Buy and up. Julia Lippert.
There you go. Meg Greenwald, we'll see her again very soon. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Am I doing the news because we're late, or am I going to a quick break? Quick break right here, 720 WGN.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chuck's on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself.
I don't know when to stop. I'm really enjoying this. You're listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I am joined in the Allstate Showcase studio by actor and comedian James Vickery. Susan Berkus is watching your roads and making sure that you're safe. And please report to the Showcase studio. We have some of the most amazing cookies you could possibly imagine, Susan.
Oh, my gosh. Perfect.
Please.
Thank you.
Stella Barra has sent over some of their amazing cookies. There are some s'mores cookies. There's ones with bacon on them. Caitlin Fry is the producer in the booth. She's taking your calls and texts at 312. 972-981-7200. And we've been dancing around the bacon cookie a little bit, haven't we? A little bit. We when Steve Ruxin came down, we broke it open. We said, we got to have a little bit of that.
It was good.
It was really good. Mm-hmm. We have Rice Krispies and brownies. So thank you so much to Stella Barra and the wonderful folks over there. We have, and so I have been trying to get into shape. Over the last year, I'm about the same weight, but I've been trying to get more tone. I was watching a woman run today on Michigan Avenue. I thought of Caitlin because I know that she runs and I just can't get behind. I get behind you running. I can't get behind you when you run and go with you. I'm not built for it. I literally am not built for it. I don't know how to respond. Well, your wife is built in a similar fashion.
But likes to run, and she ran the Chicago Marathon.
What?
Yeah.
How many bras does she wear?
They look like, how would I describe them? They're almost like
armor?
Jackets. Yeah, yeah. They are.
And she wears more than one.
Has worn, or the one with the shirt that also has kind of one built in. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that... I'm sorry, Caitlin, I'm not, but that's what I mean by I'm not built for it. Like when
right.
I run,
but
my body's going forward and like, I don't enjoy being.
No, right.
Yeah. And Caitlin will attest to this.
I have a similar issue. I don't really want to get into it, but
see,
that's why I can't run.
And that's why it's awkward. But I do a lot of, I like to do yoga and Pilates, and I do a lot of videos on YouTube that, thank you so much for coming down. Take as much as you want. We have so many cookies. Please help yourself.
Please.
You'll see that, and those of you who are disturbed by the fact that we eat on the air, we take samples. I have them all on a napkin next to me because I can't have too much. I've been trying to get into shape, and since my children were born, when Griffin was born, I decided I wasn't going to get back into shape because I knew I wanted to have another. So why bother getting all fit and tone if I'm going to just go through the whole process of gaining weight and having another child? So I didn't. And then after Declan, after about a year, I decided, well, I think that's probably going to be it. I have a child who has special needs. I don't think I want to have more children just because I personally can't go through this again, and they both deserve my attention and my time. Mommy wants to get hot again.
Right.
So I tried working out, and I actually ended up doing more like the South Beach diet, which is all meat and cheese and cheese and meat and then more cheese and meat, and you wrap your cheese in the meat and then you fry it. And
seems doable.
Yeah. It was awesome. And my cholesterol went through the roof.
Right.
And my doctor, everything was kind of off for me. So I had to go on a diet that lowered my cholesterol, which was a lot of oatmeal and yogurt. More soy and almonds and all these different things. And I got my cholesterol right. I thought, okay, well, now what? So what I do is I only eat at night. This is so unhealthy. Everything I do is so unhealthy.
As everyone tell you, number one tip, okay, only eat at night.
Only eat at night. I eat after, because I get up maybe around anywhere between noon and 3, because I go to bed at between 6 and 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Okay, so I only eat at night now, and I know people are going to be upset with me, but that's just the way it's working out. I'm
not
hungry.
That's a tough...
It's a weird schedule.
Yeah.
And the other thing is people feed, send so much food over that I know I'm going to have rich stuff when I get here. So in lieu of eating right, I'm working out a lot.
Okay, well, that's good.
I eat a lot, but I also eat a lot of berries and nuts, and I juice.
Right.
To compensate for the bad eating. So, okay, it's a long story to get to how do you know if a thong doesn't fit you well? I decided now that I'm feeling good about the way I look, I would also like to be a little bit more fun, sort of spice things up with my husband. And I was shopping for garments, and I don't even know if you're supposed to try on thongs. That seems a little like, then who else has tried on thongs?
I try them on.
And that's why I don't want to.
Right.
Exactly, because you are in
just
there.
Just for that possibility, yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm guessing I'm a medium, but then if I commit to it, I also don't want to return it. But how do you know if it fits right?
Because they inherently don't fit, it seems like, right?
Well, they really fit. It's an uncomfortable garment. I mean, they look fun and great. And,
right.
And but yeah, so when I just don't understand how if a thong fits.
Well, it is interesting. I reveal something. She's not here, so I'll talk about my wife, Kristen.
Uh-huh.
Once I think it was a Christmas present, a stocking stuffer. I bought a pair of hanky pankies.
What are hanky panky?
They're a popular, as I understand, brand of thongs.
Okay.
That women like. And
is it a G-string or is it a thong? Because those are the two different things.
I think a thong.
Because a G-string is just like two strip. Like
two, oh no no it's
okay,
a thong.
A thong.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And hanky panky.
Well, that's yeah hanky panky. I think you'd like. I think Kristen
She's listening, by the way, and the phone's gonna ring. Kristen, it's
oh I know she might
312-981-7200. Go ahead.
She did already tell me I should add no. She does not. She doesn't wear two bras. Just really good sports
bras. So she's listening.
Okay. But I bought her hanky panky, and I found out they were one size fits all, and I was like, how can that be? I don't understand.
Right.
They're magic.
Right. One. We're not all one.
Right.
But some of us are one all.
And they're built, but they're apparently built that way. So that'll alleviate some of your pressure because there's nothing else you can do. You just get this one.
Just get that one.
Yeah.
So I should try hanky panky.
Yes.
Okay.
Kristen, do you agree?
See how that feels. So some of the comments on my Facebook page that people left, it was really, I think this is my favorite question I've ever asked on Facebook.
I saw you throw it out there and I was like, well, that's pretty brave because that could open up a whole.
I mean, I'm doing it right now, aren't I? Discussing the
right.
fact that I would like to purchase this yeah,
exactly.
garment. And so I'm going to tell you what happened on Friday. So people were very upset. And so if you haven't gotten the clue yet in the course of this last 2 hours and 15 minutes, we like to talk about everything.
Right.
We can be serious. We can talk about moments that are important to all of us. And we can then talk about art. We can talk about music, comedy.
Which I think is awesome, by the way. It's not just one tone. It's Mm-mm. not one thing.
Yep. Well, so if you want to know who I am somebody who will talk about politics and world history and why Pearl Harbor is important to remember tonight and talk to a performer and two performers who contribute so much to the world of art. And I will talk about thongs. On Friday, we had the Chicago Clarinet Ensemble in studio. We had Knife and Tyne. We talked about a lot of things. We talked about the protesters and how people are feeling about that. And then the wonderful musicians wanted me to play a contra bass clarinet. Bass clarinet, sorry, not a fish. The contra bass clarinet. It's a huge clarinet, so they had it right here on our console, and he was instructing how to blow it. Well, that's gonna, you know, I'm a stand-up comic,
right?
So that's in my week, and the whole studio was filled with people, and he told me to put my teeth on it. I'm sorry, I'm gonna
just can't do that.
And if you go back and you watch any of Johnny Carson's shows, you will see the randiest, naughtiest things, and he said things blatantly. And I'm not saying I'm anywhere near a Johnny Carson,
right.
But I will say that's, you know, we have a lot of different weapons in our armory.
He told Dolly Parton, I remember, he would give a week's paycheck. To get a peek under her blouse.
Right.
I've seen that.
And this is what I'm saying, right? Mm-hmm. So there were people that were very upset on Friday mm-hmm. night that, you know, she's having these great conversations about Ferguson and you know, the policeman and, you know, where do we stand on this? Can you passionately support the police department and also passionately believe that there's a lot of racial injustice in this country? And now she's making these kinds of jokes. Yeah.
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 And it's a Friday night.
That's what everybody else was saying, too.
You know what I mean?
So, when it comes to, there are things that are naughty that we all are kind of curious about. We, you know, I think that sex is something that should be fun and funny.
It's part of the human experience.
Exactly.
A big part, I would say.
Yeah. So, that's why we're all the human experience, and I'm partly a reflection of my life. I want to hear from you and see what you think about these things and get your impression. So that's why I talk to comedians and I talk to other actors and writers. Musicians, we all come from different walks of life, and we have a different. When we come back, we have a caller on the line, very special caller on the line, 312-981-7200. You're listening pretty late to Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. She had humps like guys like all night long. Let me see that song. You're listening pretty late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and we're talking about lingerie, a little bit of lingerie talk, and this is actually appropriate. If people think I'm being a little bit naughty, I'm actually talking to a married couple about their experiences. James Vickery joins me in the studio, and he mentioned before the break he had an article of clothing he'd bought for his wife. I was asking, how do you know if a thong fits well or not? I haven't owned one in a long time, and I'm not really comfortable trying them on. So if you buy a pair of 15 $8 thongs. You're kind of committing. And Kristen, so your husband bought you a pair of hanky pankies that are one size fits all. How did that turn out?
Oh, they're great. They're my favorite. I own a lot now. They're my favorite underwear.
I'm on the website right now. Okay, so did you, prior to that, were you a thong owner? Were you someone who enjoyed them?
I was.
Okay, so that.
I was.
Mm-hmm. When did you start wearing thongs?
They're really the most comfortable thongs I've ever worn.
She loves them.
And they're one size fits all. Comfort and Joy Holiday Gift Guide 2014. See? And hanky,
yeah, that sounds really good.
And they're mm-hmm. and they're one size. How can they? I don't understand how they can be one size fits all. I mean,
I know.
I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but they fit me and they fit a lot of other people, but I don't really know.
But they don't have different sizes, right?
I don't know. I'm on the website right now and I'm taking a look because I went to Soma Intimates is where I was looking at some of them. And there's actually a couple places now that you're living in Los Angeles, Kristen, you'll find that there are some really interesting lingerie stores out there.
Great. Can't wait.
I love, by the way, shopping for lingerie for my wife, Kristen. Hi, mm-hmm. Kristen, by the way.
Hi.
We're in different cities.
I think the best thing ever is having lingerie talk on a radio.
I agree.
Across the country.
Isn't it?
I don't even know what question to ask you, so I'll start the conversation this way. Because before I got married, I really enjoyed different kinds of lingerie, and my husband thinks it's too much work. And I just think there's some fun to that. Like, there's a friend of the show, her name is Toy Rivers, and she sells a lot of wonderful, lingerie garments, and just for fun and pleasure. And my husband is like, it just seems like a lot of work. I'm like, he's like, I like you in flannel pajamas, you're fine. But I mean, that's how I feel.
I wish James said that, you know.
Yeah, no.
I used to enjoy, like, okay, so this is something, so listeners, if you're going to get upset, I'm reflecting myself, I'm sharing, part of my own personality, it's part of what I do. I used to love wearing garter belts when I was younger, and with the thigh highs, and they're fun, Kristen, at least I enjoyed them, they're not for everybody, but my husband's like, I gotta get through these clips, and I gotta...
Oh, they're a little complicated.
Wow. Well, I think I like them too. I think they're sexy.
They are. I mean, it's partly about how I feel when I'm wearing them, what I would.
Right.
Right.
And yeah. I wish there's no equivalent that guys can do. I was just thinking about this. There's nothing.
It's true.
What do you wear? What am I going to wear? Batman costume? I mean, there's nothing.
No, I'm not,
right?
No.
He's wearing like a utility belt.
Right.
To
bed, utility.
He's got his batarangs, right. A couple of grappling hooks. I mean, you don't know. There might be some fun things in that belt.
But I've been in a Victoria's Secret by myself before shopping. Well, I think the salespeople think it's just the most adorable thing.
But look at Chris. She's worked at a Victoria's Secret. Caitlin is on the...
Oh, you did?
Well, yeah. I didn't work at Victoria's Secret. I worked at another lingerie store, though. But, yeah. Our hearts like burst a little bit when we see guys trying to get
right.
something nice for their significant other.
I wish there were a special effect for that when I saw a salesperson's heart burst a little bit at a lingerie store. But I mean, I think that most men are sort of hesitant to do that. Kristen, what would you tell men who are thinking about doing that?
I would tell them to do it. I would say that sometimes women maybe might not like getting lingerie because they feel like it's something that they are now expected to do, or like they feel like maybe it's their husband buying it for themselves or something.
Are you revealing
maybe
something?
Maybe get something. No. I'm saying that that's how, like, I feel like sometimes that's like a common thing that people...
For other women.
I could see that.
Kristen's saying, not me.
Not
no.
her.
Well, not me.
Because you know, Kristen,
but,
if it's in her
right.
repertoire, right?
Exactly. I knew. I could I could tell.
Yeah, I like it. But I will... But, like, maybe... Well, actually, I guess I did bring this up to you once, James. I said, maybe I could get another present sometime.
Oh, wait. It's not all I've done. Hold on.
Ooh, look at this. Talk about cross-country talk.
Oh.
I think maybe when
like the Bose wireless speakers I just sent? How about those?
Yeah, like those. That's great. We're mixing it up a little bit. I like
right.
it.
Kristen, I think...
But, I feel like some women aren't comfortable with it, and so maybe that... I don't know. Like, you have to know what you're, partner is into.
Right.
What your lady likes.
Yes, exactly.
And but you know what? I think that we've come across something. This is aside from lingerie that you've mentioned, Kristen, is that when you react in a way that shows them that they like it, they're like, oh, well, I'm going to do that again. I mean, they're kind of
right.
It's sort of reinforced behavior. So I do that because my husband did that one time, Kristen. It was a necklace that I really liked. It was a costume jewelry,
mm-hmm.
and I really loved it. So for Valentine's Day, I got the same necklace in a different color.
Right, which it's. Yeah, like they panic. Yeah.
It's
gifts
then,
are hard.
And then guess what happened on my birthday? Same necklace in my birthday stone.
Oh gosh.
I love my husband, but I mean, I think he had felt like for years he hadn't gotten it right. Now that he got one right, and I don't make him feel bad, or I don't. I just that's really lovely. Thank you so much.
Well, right, I'm never buying lingerie again, so.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No, you actually haven't bought.
I was just gonna say it's actually been a long break. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a long break, so you can go back to it.
Now, Kristen, you're coming back on December 16th?
December 16th, mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to figure out your calendar. I'm doing my programming on the air so that I can make sure I get all my guests back for December. I'm taking off a lot of weekend nights. I'm going to be performing stand-up comedy in Indianapolis and then San Antonio. So we have to figure out before New Year's, I have to have you and James in studio again because I rarely get to see you together anymore. It's like
I know, yeah. And then we'll be back when we come back to New Orleans, we'll be in town until January 17th.
Oh, so. Good.
Yeah.
Good. All right, perfect. Yeah. So we'll have you on once a week before you go back.
Yeah.
Kristen, yes, go ahead.
I have one more thing to say about Hanky Pankies. I swear I'm not getting paid by them. But the sales clerk told me that her sister wore them when she was pregnant and they didn't stretch at all.
What? So they go back?
Yeah.
I know. I'm trying to figure out how to talk about this website without sounding like a promotion for this company.
I know. I'm not promoting the company at all. They're not paying me. They didn't give me anything.
I will say this. Like, so people who are questioning this moment, I will say that on their website, it says they are proudly made in the USA.
That's good.
So if that helps assuage people's concerns that we're talking about this company, I think that kind of brings it up a bunch of notches. As it were. Yeah.
And they make great stocking stuffers. Right?
Oh my God, no. Are you getting paid,
Jim? Kristen McAllister, how can we follow your adventures in California? On Facebook and such?
Yeah, Facebook, Kristen McAllister, or at the Kristen Mick on Twitter.
At the Kristen Mick on Twitter, and we will talk to her again soon. Follow her on Facebook. Thank you so much for calling in, and keep watching.
Yeah.
We're just having...
Okay, it's been great to watch you. Yeah.
We're having cookies. We wish we could send you one.
I just ate a piece of really dark chocolate just to try and get a little bit of a cookie feel.
It's not the same.
Get in the mood, and you'll be fine because your hanky pankies will still fit you when you're done. Mine too. When I get some.
Bye. Stay in touch.
Okay.
All right. Bye, Kristen. That's James's wife. He's asked her to stay in touch. But everyone, just stay where you are. 312-981-7200. You're listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with actor and comedian James Vickery, and producer Caitlin Fry is taking your calls at 312-981-7200. You can text us at the same number. Susan Burkus is watching your roadways, making sure that everything is clear out there, and if there's not, she'll let you know, and then you go take a different route. It's always a weird moment, isn't it, when you realize that I need to get around this right now. I need to get around this. Is there anything that that you just reported? I was in the ladies' room.
Oh, no problem. No, everything is pretty quiet right now. There's just some overnight construction not causing any delays. However, the big news is the weather for the morning commute. You know, it's not happening?
What's going on?
Freezing rain.
What? Oh, I gotta get out of here. Let's go. I'm sorry, I gotta go.
All right, let's go.
Well, no, you have 20 more minutes, Patty. You can't go yet.
When are they predicting any sort of precipitation?
At just about daybreak, and it'll finish up before 1 p.m., but it's 100% chance of...
Wow, I like those odds.
Freezing rain.
Wait, what?
A wintry mix.
When have you ever heard 100% chance of anything?
I'm looking at it right now, and it's according to the National Weather Service, and
that's confident. There's not even a 99%.
They're I would say 99%, but
just to be safe, yeah.
Right.
I'm sorry, I just got a little bit nauseous for everyone that's going to get in their car. I say leave now for work.
Right.
I know it's a little hard for some of you because you're sleeping, But those of you who are awake, plan accordingly. Oh, man, those are the worst. So the rush hour.
And that wintry mix is always.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can't, because it's hard to anticipate what your reaction time has to be.
Exactly.
It's different for ice. It's different for snow. I have a 96 Honda Accord that I've bought from my mother. That's right. I bought that car for my mom. I know. It's a great car. But I'm learning it. And that first snowfall we had last month, that was dicey. I was on 59. No, I was on, what's North Avenue? North Avenue is Highway 69?
64.
69 is a different place. but I was on 64, and I was coming to a red light, and I had my foot on the brake, and I was still coming to the light. Had my foot on the brake, I was still going.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I told that everybody that night that I had enough time to reach into my glove compartment and start calling my insurance agency to file a claim.
Something's about to happen.
Yeah, this is not going to end well. And I stopped, like, and what I did was, because you forget, your brain just goes, I need to stop, I'm going to hit the brakes. And I just eased off the brake and then came back down again. I wasn't used to it. I have weather amnesia, you know, where I don't practice all year round.
When oh, right.
You know?
I create obstacle courses without no. I just, yeah, no, you do always.
What do you
forget.
Do with black ice?
Yes. Do you have the same thing here in winter? I was actually I was in warm weather for a few weeks and I came
say
back
it again.
Here.
Go ahead and say it again.
Ate Thanksgiving outside. I'll just say that. But
we could too.
When it gets really cold here and you're like, I forget that it's also warm here. Like, you forget that summer exists.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just...
You lose the will to live.
Yes.
You just want to crawl under the blankets and stay there.
Right.
Yeah, it's a seasonal depression is a real thing.
It totally is, but I will say one way to embrace it, perhaps, being in Southern California recently, there's a lot of pressure, I feel like, to be outside, to always be doing something. Mm-hmm. And I love being inside. And so, like, it was amazing. Like, I got here. It's like, well, it's cold. So, see you, you know, in the spring.
Guess I'll be on the couch.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get a new couch, by the way? Or did you,
cause I no.
Knew you
oh, God.
Couch.
Yeah, so Kristen hasn't been home yet. We have a tear in the couch cushion.
And people were like, flip over the cushion. Only what?
Well, I couldn't, because there was a stain already that's being.
This is
yeah,
the other side.
Yeah, this is the only side we have right now. So, currently, I have a bed sheet wedged on top of the cushions. I don't think Kristen's going to be pleased with my solution.
Oh, you know what? I will say we did this last year, and it lasted all year long. We got, like, throw blankets.
Oh, okay.
And, because they have, like, nice, and it's sort of, you can get something that complements the couch that you already have.
Oh, I like this idea.
We went with red and black flannel, so it looks a little bit seasonal.
Right.
So it's like $11 at your whatever.
I love this idea, and then it looks
like
more purposeful.
Fleece. Well, and it's also fuzzy, and it's
right.
Warm. It's yeah, it's quite nice.
That's what I'm doing. Done.
Yeah. Polar Great. Fleece, like a, yeah, sort of a throw, and we got a couple of them.
I don't want to buy
a
new
the
couch.
Same thing.
Yeah. It extends the life of your couch.
Mm-hmm.
$24. Boom. Another year or two.
Done.
What? It's good stuff. I know. Rob Martyr says he hates. Oh, no. It's when I say right. He hates when people say right. I say what? Like I'm asking another question. You know what? I will strive in 2015 to stop saying right and what inappropriately or unnecessarily. How's that?
I like what. The question what is an exclamation.
What?
Yeah, what?
What? Okay, I see. That's different than what?
Oh, you do.
What? Yeah, see.
There's lots to do it. There's hey, these are Vine characters, by the way. A year of different whats, I would like.
there are two different stories that we're getting to, and I think we have enough time for actually both of them here because some of our listeners are like, oh, please stop talking about this. But one is I think we're going to go with the Fur Fest. I forgot about this. There was an evacuation at the Rosemont Hyatt. There was a Midwest Fur Fest. Do you know what a Fur Fest is?
I do not.
Oh, you also did not see that episode of CSI, I guess.
No.
The only place – Caitlin and I learn a lot of things. This happens to be from CSI.
So all right.
Sometimes I learn about life from Good Wife. But in this case, there are people who enjoy dressing up in somewhat like mascot outfits, but as animals.
Oh.
So they're furries.
Right.
And they, you know, there are different demonstrations of this attraction to do this lifestyle. Some people just like to reenact being animals, you know, sort of, you know, doing anthropomorphic. That's a lot of words. It was a furry convention. There was,
gotcha.
There was actually the serious component of this is that it was an intentional, gas incident. Apparently somebody in the stairwell opened a chlorine gas, which was, found. They smelled this noxious odor, spreading across the ninth floor of the hotel. 19 people were transported to nearby hospitals after complaining of nausea, dizziness, and other medical problems. And, I, you know, when I posted this morning, I was hesitant because there is also a fetish aspect to this.
Right.
And I didn't, you know, there's something about fetishes that I don't want to make people feel bad about what they're attracted to. I don't think that your fetish makes you a bad person.
I agree. Right.
Yeah. So my only thing was that, there are pictures of people evacuating the hotel. And, you know, there are a lot of people in costumes and dog and animals. So can you imagine being a first responder arriving on the scene?
That would be the craziest.
It's something you're going to tell for the rest of your life. All the horrible.
Right.
I think what a gift to our fire department, to our paramedics, yes. and our police officers. Some of the horrible things, the rescues, sometimes lives are lost. Here's a story they're going to have for the rest of their lives. Remember when we saved that squirrel from
Winnie the Pooh was,
Right. So that's the only thing that, thankfully no one has died. There are people who are sick, so I don't want to make too much light of it because this is something they do for entertainment and recreation, and it was disrupted by an intentional act, apparently.
I wonder, because of their lifestyle, I guess?
Well, who knows if it was them. There was also a real dog show.
Okay.
There
was Now, yeah.
But maybe the dog show, maybe someone was trying to sabotage another competitor. You know, I don't know. Maybe this was they haven't released any of the details
gotcha.
Of who may have done this. But one element is that at least with all their fur costumes, they were warm outside.
Absolutely. Well, as someone, and you know this a little bit, I did get paid at a time in my life to wear costumes like that.
And did you feel a little frisky?
I never had anyone hit on me, I will say that.
What was your costume?
I was all sorts of, I would be everyone. But it was those big furry costumes, mm-hmm. right? Like a Tigger or the right. Teletubbies
sure.
or whoever.
Yeah, you're doing children's parties. Please don't get frisky.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, there's no friskiness encouraged.
None of the moms, though, ever came on to me while I was dressed like.
Never? Come on. There had to be one.
I don't think, or when I was dressed like a clown? No.
Not when you're dressed as a clown? No, not.
There's got to be. Is there a fetish for that?
There has to be, right? You just didn't come across it.
I didn't come across it.
We're talking about the Midwest Fur Fest that was being held this weekend in Rosemont. The hotel was evacuated due to a noxious smell, and apparently there was chlorine gas that was purposefully set in one of the stairwells. And in another evacuation, I believe this is in California, a courtroom, a federal building was evacuated for a suspected bomb device. And I think I've told, Caitlin, have I ever told you that time I ended up closing down? I did not close it down. Okay, I closed it down. I closed down Wells and North Avenue. The bomb squad had to be dispatched.
Really?
Yeah.
Based off your call?
So I was parking. I was headlining at Zany's. It was in the summertime about 2 years ago. And I was so excited because I found a free parking spot right on Wells, which is so hard to do.
Even picture where that would
across
be.
Across the street in front of the,
the wine shop?
No, it's the garden shop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Landscaping
next
place.
To that, yep.
So there's a strip of spots there that are available after 7 p.m. You can park for free. They're not subject to the meters. And I was so excited. And
that's
I saw the Red Eye machine. I'm like, oh, and a free newspaper because the Red Eye is free. But as I was opening the news box, I saw a little black box on top of it with wires coming out of it.
Really?
That looked really suspicious. It just looked like something I'd never seen before. And I was like, I went to go touch it at first. And then I'm like, this is how people die
right.
in the movies. Like, the next thing that happens is I'm going to be a pink mist,
right.
from Grey's Anatomy, another show that I learned things from. Kyle Chandler, man, I didn't see that coming. It was so sad. So
that show's still on the air?
Yes. Wow. And so my heart stopped, and I thought, please, please, please let Officer Joe, be coming. Officer Joe is a cop who's been doing that beat for as long as I've been working at Zany's. I'm not kidding. I look up, Officer Joe is coming
really?
Toward me. And I go over to him and I said, this is what I saw. And he comes over and now we've known each other so long. He pulls out his glasses. He's got bifocals and he's looking at the item and he steps back and he cusses and he starts talking into his radio.
Yeah.
And, the next thing I know, I had to go perform at Zany's and they had to keep everyone in the building. They didn't want to cause, they wanted us to, they felt that we were safer there. Because they had the bomb squad there. Eventually we were evacuated out the back door toward, did you know that parking lot for on the other side
right.
of the tobacco shop?
Mm-hmm.
So we evacuated that way onto North Avenue. But the intersection at North and Wells was shut down.
Oh, that's such a busy intersection.
Yeah, it was. I headlined performing that night knowing that behind me the bomb squad
right.
was right outside the window. And I did 45 minutes. just like it was the last set I was ever going to do.
Because it was, yeah.
And then Vince Moranto handed me a note that said, they're not letting us leave. Keep going.
Oh, well, no.
No, I just, I did everything I possibly could for 45. Like then yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. It was the same night they actually found a suspicious device. They found a pipe bomb by the NBC towers right over here. And they also, a dead possum was delivered to the Planned Parenthood. There was also an envelope to the, like, there. It was a day where they think, there's some speculation that they were kind of poking at, seeing what the response was, if there were different things going on in the city at different times.
Interesting. Because it seemed, the thing that you saw seemed to be purposefully made to look like a bomb, right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. But it ended up being the speakers out of some sort of a radio or something, but they don't know why it would be there.
Right.
So this long story is to tell you that you should, if you see something, say something.
See something, say something.
Which is what someone did in a federal building, and the bomb squad was called, and first responders were called. Everyone was evacuated in California at this federal building, and when the bomb squad went to inspect the item, it turned out to be a vibrator. And there's a picture, part of the article. I don't know that that's the, if they found out what kind it was, because it's right. Like an egg with a remote control. So I guess, I mean, maybe because if it was two items, you thought, here's the detonator.
Right.
I don't know why you would leave them together. It really raises so very, very many questions.
Like, why was it left somewhere?
Right. Well, I mean, like, how bad is jury duty? You're like, I know how I can get through this.
You grab your People magazine, you grab a water bottle.
A packet of gum. And my vibrating egg. Yeah, I don't know how that becomes one of the things that you put. I mean, like, or are you an attorney who, like, this is how you stay pumped?
Right.
You keep your adrenaline going by, like, this is how you stay on top of your game. Maybe it's a judge. Maybe it's a bailiff.
Person whose it was, though, that had to be like, all right, whose is this? You know, that's...
Yeah. I mean, do you put that in now? Do they put that in the lost and found? Do they... And the person that came upon it, like, how do they not know what it... And I feel so bad for them that they didn't know what it was.
Yeah, kind of a sheltered existence in some way, maybe.
So maybe we all need to be more educated on our adult toys, so when you come across one in public, you don't involve the bomb squad.
Yes.
Right.
It's a little bit...
There are a lot of questions about this. Yeah. So no one has come forward to claim their missing device. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You said, like, how do you leave it behind then?
Right.
How do
you know? Why was it out? Yeah.
How is it not on your person?
Yes. That's no one's. I've never heard that. Like going back to Lost and Found. Did you guys see my vibrator?
Did you happen to? Yeah. It's a medical device, which really, in reality, it really is. Pretty Late with Patty Basket, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I've been joined by James Vickery, who's an actor and a comedian, and we'll see him again on Tuesday night. And then his wife, Kristen, comes back, and she sent me an email with pictures of some hanky-panky candy stripe panties. So thank you very much, Kristen. We appreciate that.
Good follow-up.
Nick and I have talked about lingerie before. Nick DiGilio's in the studio, and I posted on Facebook today. I haven't – there are certain lingerie items that I haven't worn in a long time, and I'm feeling confident enough to get back into lingerie. I know it's awkward for everybody, but I asked the question, how do you know if a thong doesn't fit? And because it's kind of an uncomfortable piece of clothing.
Yeah.
And James, his wife, called in because he apparently buys these for her. There's a brand that it's one size fits all, and I can't even wrap my mind around that.
It's crazy.
I doubt it. I say
one size fits all.
Exactly.
Yeah, I went to buy.
Doesn't seem possible.
It doesn't.
No.
I agree. Because there's so many sizes. You went to buy and...
I was expecting to have to give a size, and she's like, no. And it's just, I was like, this makes no sense to me.
It makes, yeah, I was really surprised by that. And then, of course, I posted it on Facebook, and I got a lot of responses as to how you can tell if it doesn't fit, like if you can't see it anymore.
Clearly, if you can't see it anymore.
Yes.
You need to move up a notch.
Yeah, that's all. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that there are listeners who are like, would you stop with the lingerie? But maybe I should just podcast this and send this to my husband. Huh?
Or some that are keep going.
No, yeah. Well, yes, of course there are some of those. But my husband doesn't like lingerie. He doesn't. He thinks it's too much work and it seems like too much effort.
Could that potentially be something he said a long time ago but maybe would have changed his mind by now?
I'm going to change his mind.
That's right.
Nick, what have you got coming up on the show tonight?
We move our movie reviews to Monday mornings now.
Hey!
Yeah, since I'm not on Saturdays anymore, mm-hmm. I actually have a full weekend now.
And was this your first full weekend that you've had because you were on vacation?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was great.
I'm looking forward to that.
Well,
Sunday.
I mean, you know, it helped that there were two incredible Hawks games.
I know.
Friday and Saturday. And they're in first place now, man. They're tearing it up.
Six in a row, right?
Yeah, six in a row. That's they're pretty... tearing
and,
it up.
And with the backup goalie, Crawford's out for a couple
Crawford's
weeks.
Crawford's out because he's an idiot.
Yeah. Right. And that happens to anybody.
Yeah.
Did he miss? He miscounted the number
of
steps?
He fell down the stairs at the House of Blues. My guess is booze was involved.
Okay.
You can't do that if you're an NHL goalie. You can't do that.
You could do it on the way to the basement, though. It happens. Stairs happen to people. Left, right. It gets complicated.
I'm just a moron. I can fall down the stairs. This guy's an NHL goalie.
Right. Well,
he needs to keep his legs and his feet in check.
And he was on fire, too.
Well, I mean, you know, luckily we've got like really two great backup goalies. Ronta's great. Darling is great.
Which one's like 6'6", just a big dude?
That's Darling.
He's the local guy, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but yeah, no, they played amazing this weekend. And, you know, you got to understand they're also without Sharp.
Right.
I mean, that's just
wait.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. How do you not be terrified when they come on?
They're the best.
Yeah. Because they were in Nashville yesterday.
Yeah, and they needed that win. That was a big win, man. I mean, that, you know, they needed those 2 points, and man, they put them in first place.
In the Nashville game, the great thing is it's not that bad of a drive. There were so many.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know that the story is that they try to limit. You know, like if you're a Hawks mm-hmm. fan and you order tickets, you have to buy 2 more games.
Right.
In addition to the Hawks.
Oh, really?
Because they're trying to limit Hawks fans from showing up.
Well, so Hawks fans must just do it?
They do it anyway.
Yeah, that's worth it. Yeah. It's a 6.5 hour drive to a really
Nashville's
fun
awesome.
City. Yeah, I was just going to say.
That's great.
It's my, you know, there are two other cities I would consider living in. One is Boston. It's too expensive. Nashville is the other place I would love to live. I love Nashville.
New Orleans for me.
New Orleans and Austin for me. Oh, I love New Orleans.
His wife is from Louisiana.
You've never been to New Orleans?
I've never been to New Orleans. After hearing Jen's stories about Jen Bosworth, I kind of think I have to go.
You do.
No, you have to go to New Orleans. That's a requirement.
It's fantastic.
It's unbelievable.
I have to go for work, though. I don't go places unless I'm...
It's a great place.
I can't vacation.
Get a gig and go down there just so you can drink and eat. Because, I mean, the food, by the way...
Yeah.
Yeah.
His head just exploded. You could see that on WGNRadio.com. Right through the Cubs hat that he got for singing the seventh inning stretch.
Lip syncing the seventh inning stretch.
No, we sang.
Yeah, we sang.
We sang.
Nobody heard us.
Nobody heard us. Yeah. That's okay. I think to make it up to you, what I'm going to need them to do is, have you done Shoot the Puck?
Yes, I have.
Oh, yeah.
And I kicked ass.
I think you
did
need to do it again.
Yeah. I sunk them both, man. I'm not playing around. Yeah.
I've never shot a puck. I would like to not do that.
Raised money for a charity was great.
That I would like to do. Great. All right, I'll go out there. Yeah. I saw them. I saw the other night. I was watching Shoot the Puck. It's fun.
It's on. You can see it on the website. My video of me shooting the puck.
What charity did you?
A couple of years ago, amyloidosis is this really insidious blood disease that that took my cousin away from me.
Oh no.
He was only 49. And it's one, and I'm not kidding, 1 in 1 million people get it.
Oh. Jeez. And nobody knows about it
it's a horrible blood disease, and so that's where I put my money.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh. That's Nick Julia's coming up next, and so the movie reviews are coming up. Do we have a break here, or are we going right to the news? I need to know these things. So we're going to do a quick break here. Thank you so much, James Vickery. You can find him on Twitter at...
At the Jimmy Vic.
At the Jimmy Vic, and on Facebook, James Vickery. Nick D is up next. You've been wonderful. Thank you.